Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. We were reading from chapter 10 yesterday, and I've been asked to skip to chapter 13, which is entitled The Lord's Dancing at Rath Yatra, in the hope that we could finish it by Saturday and we would gain that wonderful inspiration of Lord Chaitanya and his glorious devotees in their Rath Yatra to sort of deepen our own mood so that we may be able to feel that inspiration and dive into our devotional service to Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev, and Lady Subhadra. Hare Krishna. So I'm starting from chapter 13, text number 15. So Lord Jagannath has just been taken out from the temple, and he's been placed on the cart, I believe. While the Lord was being carried from the throne to the car, King Prataparudra personally engaged in the Lord's service by cleaning the road with a broom that had a golden handle. The king sprinkled the road with sandalwood-scented water. Although he was the owner of the royal throne, he engaged in menial service for the sake of Lord Jagannath. Although the king was the most exalted, respectable person, still he accepted menial service for the Lord. He therefore became a suitable candidate for receiving the Lord's mercy. Upon seeing the king engaged in such menial service, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy. Simply by rendering this service, the king received the mercy of the Lord. Huh? Okay, thank you. I'll last hope. Purport. Unless one receives the mercy of the Lord, he cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead or engage in his devotional service. I'm going to read that again because it's a very, very telling statement. Unless one receives the mercy of the Lord, he cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead or engage in his devotional service. Atapi te deva padambujadvaya prasada lesanguhita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahino nachanya eko pi chiram vichinvan. That's from the Bhagavatam 10:14:29. Only a devotee who has received a small fraction of the mercy of the Lord can understand him. Otherwise, though others may engage in theoretical speculation to understand the Lord, but they cannot know anything about him. Although Maharaj Prataparudra was very eager to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord refused to see him. However, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the king engaged Someone turn the alarm off? Or... Thank you. Time to get up. However, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the king engaged in menial service for Lord Jagannath, he became very happy. Thus the king became eligible to receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. If a devotee accepts Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the universal guru and Lord Jagannath as the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna, he is benefited by the combined mercy of Krishna and Guru. That is stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his instructions to Rupa Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 19.151. Ramanda Brahmate Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bij. The seed of devotional service fructifies and becomes the transcendental creeper. Finally, it reaches the lotus feet of the Lord in the spiritual sky. This seed is obtained by the mercy of the Lord and the Guru. By the Lord's mercy, one gets the association of a bona fide Guru. And by the mercy of the Guru, one gets a chance to render devotional service. Devotional service, the science of bhakti yoga, carries one from this material world to the spiritual world. Translation. Everyone was astonished to see the decorations on the Rath car. The car appeared to be newly made of gold, and it was as high as Mount Sumeru. Purport. In the year 1973, there was a gorgeous Rath Yatra festival in London, England, and the car was brought to Trafalgar Square. The London daily newspaper, The Guardian, published a front-page photo caption, "ISKCON Rath Yatra is rival to the Nelson Column in Trafalgar Square." The Nelson Column is a very impressive statue of Lord Nelson and can be seen from a good distance, just as the residents of Puri compared the Rath Yatra car to Mount Sumeru. The residents of London considered the car a rival to the Nelson Monument. So Lord Nelson was a very famous admiral in the British Navy, and he is famous for a particular battle called the Battle of Trafalgar, if my memory served me correctly. And in that battle, there was a fight of the British against the Spain and France. And there were, if I recall, 27 British ships and 33 of the other. And all of the other ships, based upon the strategy that Lord Nelson used, all went down. But the one British ship that faced these 33 not only survived, but did quite nicely. Unfortunately, Lord Nelson was wounded in that battle and died. So it was a very famous battle, and as a result of that, that statue was created for him, and it became very popular. However, as it is mentioned here, next to Lord Jagannath, Lord Nelson didn't have a chance. The decorations included bright mirrors and hundreds of chamaras, white whisks made of yak tails. On top of the car were a neat, clean canopy and very beautiful flag. The car was also decorated with silken cloth and various pictures. Many brass bells, gongs, and ankle bells rang. For the pastimes of the Rath Yatra ceremony, Lord Jagannath got aboard one car, and his sister Subhadra and elder brother Balaram got aboard two other cars. For 15 days, the Lord had remained in a secluded place with the Supreme Goddess of Fortune and had performed his pastimes with her. Purport. The 15-day period of Anavasara is also called Nibritta, in honor of the solitary place where the Supreme Goddess of Fortune lives. After living there a fortnight, Lord Jagannath took permission from the goddess of fortune to leave. Having taken permission from the goddess of fortune, the Lord came out to ride on the Rath car and perform his pastimes for the pleasure of the devotees. Purport. In this connection, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur comments that as an ideal husband, Lord Jagannath remained 15 days in a secluded place with his wife, the supreme goddess of fortune. Nonetheless, the Lord wanted to come out of seclusion to give happiness to his devotees. The Lord enjoys himself in two ways, known as Svakiya and Parakiya. The Lord's conjugal love in the Svakiya Ras relates to the regulative principles observed in Dvarka. There, the Lord has many married queens, but in Vrindavan, the conjugal love of the Lord is not with his married wives, but with his girlfriends, the gopis. Conjugal love with the gopis is called Parakiya Ras. Lord Jagannath leaves the secluded place where he enjoys the company of the supreme goddess of fortune in the Svakiya Ras, and he goes to Vrindavan where he enjoys the Parakiya Ras. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur therefore reminds us that the Lord's pleasure in Parakiya Ras is superior to his pleasure in Svakiya Ras. In the material world, Parakiya Ras of or loving affairs with unmarried girlfriends is a most degraded relationship. But in the spiritual world, this type of loving affair is considered the supreme enjoyment. In the material world, everything is but a reflection of the spiritual world. And that reflection is perverted. So let me stop for a moment here. As it is mentioned here, it is the most degraded relationship in the material world, but in the spiritual world, it is highly exalted. First of all, we have to understand that the kind of pleasure in the spiritual world is totally different from the kind of pleasure in the material world. The pleasure of the material world in its highest degree is sexual activity, sexual intercourse. But in the spiritual world, it is completely different. It is an ever-increasing pleasure which takes place within the soul or in the heart. And it becomes deeper and deeper the more one feels, the more one serves Krishna with deep love in his or her heart. That love deepens into sublime ecstasy. The more love the Lord receives of this transcendental nature, unconditional, undemanding, completely surrendered, the more it inspires his own love. And when his own love is inspired, he expresses that love to the devotees. And the devotees feel the Lord's love in their heart as ever-increasing ecstasy. This ecstasy is permanent. And it grows and deepens and thickens, so to speak. And the devotee exhibits or experiences various types of symptoms, which we call ecstatic symptoms. So, therefore, there is no desire on the part of the gopis to possess Krishna, to own Krishna, to control Krishna of any sort. It is simply to give Krishna more and more and more pleasure. That's their only concern. And because their love is so pure, this inspires and uplifts and it fills the Lord with great and greater ecstasy. In the material world, it is the opposite. Generally, people want to own someone with whom they are having a sexual relationship. They want to possess that person. And if they see that person talking to somebody else, they may feel envy or jealousy. And the next thing you know is that the person, for example, a woman has a boyfriend, and she sees the boy talking to some other girl, and then the next thing, when he comes back to her, she says, "Well, what were you talking about? What are you so interested in her? What does she have that I don't have?" So therefore, there is this jealousy, and this it is based upon insecurity, and the insecurity is that we think we are our body. The nature of the soul is to be ever joyful, but because we are identifying, the soul is identifying itself with the body, the physical body, the pleasure that it gets is very temporary. And so because it is temporary, one wants to in some way keep it going, make it perpetual. But of course that's impossible. So therefore the person is fearful, person is anxious and uncertain that he or she will lose the pleasure of that boyfriend or husband or girlfriend, whatever it may be. In the spiritual world, it is the opposite. Actually, the gopis are very, very eager. They're very eager for the Lord to have ever-increasing spiritual pleasure with Srimati Radharani. And they get they get a tremendous amount of pleasure of making arrangements for Srimati Radharani to meet with Lord Sri Krishna. In fact, they get, according to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, millions of times more pleasure in arranging for the pleasure of Srimati Radharani and Lord Sri Krishna. That is the selfless nature of their love. All they want to do is give Krishna pleasure. Srimati Radharani says, "I do not mind my personal distress. I only wish for the happiness of Krishna, for his happiness is the goal of my life. However, if he feels great happiness in giving me distress, that distress is the best of my happiness." So there we have it in graphic, bold form, that her concern is only Krishna's pleasure. And if she has to suffer any degree of pain or difficulty, trial, tribulation, she doesn't mind as long as Krishna, his pleasure, is ever increasing. So this is a very wonderful standard for us to shoot for, to target for. What will bring Krishna pleasure? Sometimes we may be inconvenienced. We may become discomforted. Somebody says something, or maybe it's too cold in the room, or maybe the weather is not as well as we would like, as balmy as we would like. And these may irritate us or disturb us or somehow ruffle us. But we have to do the devotional service. And if devotional service means doing it under those conditions, then we do them under those conditions. Because our concern has to be the pleasure of Krishna. And if Krishna is going to get pleasure out of us doing this, and actually we're sacrificing our comfort or sacrificing our convenience, all the more pleasure Krishna will get. Not that he likes us to in any way suffer, but when he sees us voluntarily suffering for his pleasure, he sees that as a sacrifice. And as the Bhagavad Gita says, "As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path." So what is the reward? The reward for the devotee who sacrifices himself, not even thinking, not even feeling, not even considering that he has made a sacrifice. He feels that the Lord owes, that he owes this to the Lord. Because Krishna has given him so much mercy, so much kindness, so much sweetness. He has given him so many things, food and clothing and shelter, a temple, beautiful deities to worship, a great spiritual master, wonderful literatures. And he has forgiven him all of his sins. And he has freed him of the different reactions that he would normally get from those sins. So, therefore, the devotee feels very, very beholden to the Supreme Lord and wants to give as much as he possibly can. And he feels that even though he has given much, 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 he has given nothing. This is the mood of a pure devotee. I've given nothing even though I have given. Why nothing? Because I owe him so much more than I have given him. Therefore, why should I even consider or count what I have given as something important or great or wonderful? He deserves it. So this is the main point of this, that the principle of sacrifice, and this was very, very strong in the earlier days in Krishna consciousness. I do remember on Christmas marathons we would have, devotees would stay out to midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. Wherever they can find a body to distribute a book, they would just do that. So, and nobody ever thought that it was anything great. He just did it because Prabhupada deserved it. He gave us so much. And we have yet to give even a little compared to what he has given us. So this brings great joy, great happiness, great ecstasy, great enthusiasm. One doesn't have to look for enthusiasm. You get it by this principle of surrender and sacrifice. The Lord's pastimes with his with the gopis are therefore misunderstood by mundane scholars and word wranglers. The Parakīya Rasa of the spiritual world should not be discussed except by one who is very advanced in pure devotional service. The Parakīya Rasa in the spiritual world and that in the material world are not comparable. The former is like gold, and the latter is like iron. So we know that iron rusts and gold doesn't rust. It's a comparison of the purity of one and the impurity of the other. Because the difference between the two is so great, they cannot actually be compared. However, one can easily distinguish the value of gold by seeing the value of iron. One who has the proper realization can easily distinguish the transcendental activities of the spiritual world from material activities. Translation: the fine white sand spread all over the path resembled the bank of the Yamuna, and the small gardens on both sides looked just like those in Vrindavan. As Lord Jagannath rode in his car and saw the beauty on both sides, his mind was filled with pleasure. The pullers of the car were known as godas, and they pulled with great pleasure. However, the car sometimes went very fast and sometimes very slow. Sometimes the car would stand still and not move, even though it was pulled very vigorously. The chariot therefore moved by the will of the Lord, not by the strength of any ordinary person. So that's an interesting point, because generally, when persons pull the Jagannath cart, or the Baladev cart, or Subhadra cart, they're thinking that they're the ones who are making the cart move. But actually, it is the sweet will of the Lord who makes it move. And as we see through this pastime, he actually stops it at times to just look at the beautiful dancing and singing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. So, in effect, what is really happening is that the Lord is giving us the opportunity to serve him. Not that we're helping by pulling the cart, but he's helping us by giving us the chance to pull it. Because if he doesn't want to allow us to pull it, he can just stop it short, which he does at some point in this pastime. So we are we should be very grateful to Lord Jagannath, the Lord of the universe. He was holding up all universes. He was the creator of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. He was so powerful, so beautiful, famous, renounced. He who has all opulences is enabling and allowing us to serve him. This is a very incredible, very great expression of mercy. Even Srila Prabhupada, who was so glorious and so exalted, allowed us, who came from basically the streets without any etiquette, he allowed us to serve him. And not only that, but we committed offenses after offenses, and he was able to ignore them, but in the process gradually taught us right from wrong, what should be done, what should not be done. But in the course of that, accepted these offenses, did not bother with them. Later on, as devotees became more advanced, then of course Srila Prabhupada began to chastise like a thunderbolt. But he expected more from us since we had then been taught. But our previous teachings had been from the streets of the materialistic world. So his mercy, his kindness, his sweetness is so great that we should feel when we are doing this Guru Puja that we owe Srila Prabhupada millions and millions and millions of drops of our energy, of our love. And even then, we still owe. This is the principle of loving surrender and loving appreciation of the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord. Sometimes the car would stand still and not move, even though it was pulled very vigorously. The chariot therefore moved by the will of the Lord, not by the strength of any ordinary person. As the car stood still, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gathered all his devotees and with his own hand decorated them with flower garlands and sandalwood pulp. Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati were both personally given garlands and sandalwood pulp from the very hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This increased their transcendental pleasure. Similarly, when Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu felt the touch of the transcendental hand of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were both very pleased. The Lord also gave garlands and sandalwood pulp to the performers of Sankirtan. The chief two performers were Svarup Damodar and Srivas Thakur. There were altogether four parties of kirtan performers, comprising 24 chanters. In each party, there were also two mridanga players, making an additional 8 persons. When the four parties were formed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after some consideration, divided the chanters. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Haridas Thakur and Vakrishvar Pandit to, what did he order them to do? Yes, to dance in each of the four respective parties. Swarup Damodar was chosen as the leader of the first party and was given 5 assistants to respond to his what? His chanting, yes. The 5 who responded to the singing of Swarup Damodar were Damodar Pandit, Narayan, Govindadat, Raghava Pandit, and Sri Govindananda. Advaita Acharya Prabhu was ordered to dance in the first group. The Lord then formed another group with Srivas Thakur as the chief man. Purport. In the first group, Damodar Swarup was appointed chief singer. And the responding singers were Damodar Pandit, Narayan, Govindadat, Raghava Pandit and Govindanandana. Sri Advaita Acharya was appointed as a dancer. The next group was formed and the chief singer was Srivas Thakur. Translation. The 5 singers who responded to the singing of Srivas Thakur were Gangadas, Haridas, Sriman, Shubananda and Sri Ram Pandit. Did I make a mistake? Sri Nityananda Prabhu was appointed as a dancer. Another group was formed consisting of Vasudev, Gopinath, and Murari. All these were responsive singers, and Mukunda was the chief. What did he do? Yes, he was a singer, known for having a very beautiful, sweet voice. Another 2 persons, Srikanta and Vallabhasen, joined as responsive singers. In this group, Haridas Thakur, the senior, was the dancer. Purport. In the third group, Mukunda was appointed the chief singer. The party was composed of Vasudev, Gopinath, Murari, Srikanta, and Vallabha Sen. The senior Haridas Thakur was the dancer. Translation. The Lord formed another group, appointing Govinda Ghosh as leader. In this group, the younger Haridas, Vishnu Das, and Raghava were the responding singers. Two brothers named Madhava Ghosh and Vasudev Ghosh also joined this group as responsive singers. Vakrishva Pandit was the dancer. There was a Sankirtan party from the village known as Kulina Gram, and Ramananda and Satyaraj were appointed the dancers in this group. There was another party that came from Shantipur and was formed by Advaita Acharya. Achyutananda was the dancer, and the rest of the men were singers. Another party was formed by the people of Kanda. These people were singing in a different place. In that group, Narahari Prabhu and Raghunandana were dancing. Four parties chanted and danced in front of Lord Jagannath, and on both sides were two other parties. Another was at the rear. There were altogether seven parties of Sankirtan, and in each party two men were beating drums. Thus 14 drums were being played at once. The sound was tumultuous, and all the devotees became mad. All the Vaishnavas came together like an assembly of clouds. As the devotees chanted the holy names, tears fell in great ecstasy like rainfall from their eyes. When the Sankirtan resounded, it filled the three worlds. Indeed, no one could hear mundane sounds or musical instruments other than the Sankirtan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wandered through all seven groups, chanting the holy name, Hari, Hari! Raising his arms, he shouted, All glories to Lord Jagannath! Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then exhibited another mystic power by performing pastimes simultaneously in seven groups. Everyone said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is present in my group. Indeed, he does not go anywhere else. He is bestowing his mercy upon us. Actually, no one could see the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Only the most confidential devotees, those in pure, unalloyed devotional service, could understand. Lord Jagannath was very pleased by the Sankirtan, and he brought his car to a standstill just to see the performance. King Prataparudra also was astonished to see the Sankirtan. He became inactive and was converted to ecstatic love of Krishna. That's one of the ecstatic symptoms, is to become stunned. Only a person who has received the mercy of the Lord can understand. Without the Lord's mercy, even the demigods headed by Lord Brahma cannot understand. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very satisfied to see the king accept the menial task of sweeping the street. And for this humility, the king received the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He could therefore observe the mystery of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities. So I'll just finish with this purport. The mystery of the Lord's activities is described by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Lord Jagannath was astonished to see the transcendental dancing and chanting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he stopped his car just to see the dancing. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then danced in such a mystical way that he pleased Lord Jagannath. The seer and the dancer are one and the same supreme person. But the Lord, being one and many at the same time, was exhibiting the variegatedness of his pastimes. This is the meaning behind his mysterious exhibition. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king could understand how both of them were enjoying each other's activities. Another mysterious exhibition was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's simultaneous presence in seven groups. by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king could understand that also. So the important point that we're left here is that the king, who is worthy of honor, respect, reverence, took the position not of a king, but of a menial sweeper. And he swept the road so that the cart which would travel over it would be clean. And when he did this, he did it not as a matter of show business. He didn't do it to put on a show. He did it out of his depth of his heart's love. How do we know this? Because we find out in this Chaitanya Charitamrita that if the king could not get an interview with Lord Chaitanya, he was ready to renounce his king and become a mendicant. And when, of course, that came to the notice of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that if he didn't give the king an audience, didn't give the king some type of an interview, then the king would renounce. And the king was a very great king because he was a great devotee. And it is rare when you have a king who is a devotee. So Lord Chaitanya, wanting him to remain king, made a compromise or he conceded. He gave a piece of his cloth. He said, give this to the king. So the king received the cloth with great devotion and love and intense feeling. And he worshipped the cloth. But it wasn't enough. He wanted still to see the Lord. So it was then suggested by the devotees of Lord Chaitanya that, well, maybe since the son of the king is part of the king, that will you please see him? So Lord Chaitanya agreed to see the son. When the son came there, the son seeing the Lord and the Lord being pleased by the son, because the son reminded him of Krishna, the child went into intense ecstasy. Ultimately, in this particular pastime, when Lord Chaitanya became fatigued, and I put quotations on the words fatigue, because actually the Supreme Lord has infinite energy. But for the purposes of pastimes, he presents himself as, to some extent, an ordinary human being who becomes fatigued. And the result of that is he lay down and he was resting. And when he rested, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gave a signal to King Prataparudra, go and massage the legs of the Lord. So he did just that. He went to the Lord's legs and he massaged them. But he did more than that. He began to recite the most beautiful verses dealing with the pastimes of the Lord and the gopis on the Ras Lila night. And when the Lord heard this at the same time that he was being massaged, he became even more and more ecstatic. And he kept saying to King Prataparudra, go on with you. I want to hear more. I want to hear more. So he pleased the Lord. He got the interview, although they were not talking together the way I'm speaking now to you. The Lord was experiencing this. And the Lord knew that it was Prataparudra. And he wanted to give him this grace because he was thoroughly and totally pleased with the humility of the king. So we can learn from this particular pastime that if we want to please the Lord, we have to give up all the trappings of any status we have, any prestige that we have, any glory that we have, any accomplishment that we have, any achievement that we have. Give up all that and consider yourself nothing. Considering yourself nothing, we are zero, and in that zero we are filled with the Lord's mercy. And with that mercy, we serve the Lord better and better and better. Hare Krishna. All glories to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Hare Krishna.